This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Welcome to the BPD Bunch. I'm your host, Zanny, and today I am here with Katya, Jack, Hakja, Lena, and Georgette. Where in the world is everyone coming from today?
West Midlands, United Kingdom.
Atlanta, Georgia, United States.
New Jersey, United States.
I'm currently in Baltimore, Maryland, United States.
And I am also in New Jersey, United States.
Today we're going to be talking about BPD and impulsivity with money. If this and other BPD related topics interest you, make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss anything. You can also support us on Patreon for even more content. We have cool behind the scenes and extended cuts of our episodes, so definitely go check that out. So I want to start this conversation by directing things over to Lena, who is not only someone with lived experience of BPD, but is a therapist who works with people with BPD. On the diagnostic criteria for borderline personality disorder, there is a symptom of impulsivity in at least two areas that are potentially self-damaging. And impulsivity with money is not necessarily specifically listed. And lots of people with BPD do report struggling with impulsivity with money. So Lena, as a therapist, how do you conceptualize this? What does impulsivity with money in the context of BPD look like?
I really think it's important to contextualize it within the understanding that there's so much involved in it in terms of class and race and whether we come from generational wealth, right? That really determines how damaging your impulsivity with money is, right? So I just want to name that because I think it's really important to think about that. But as a therapist, the way I look at impulsivity with money or in general is typically with BPD, we see a type of impulsivity where we often have a hard time waiting to make decisions. Often our actions are pretty immediate, right? I often see clients will, you know, make purchases, spend money without even really thinking about it. The action is pretty immediate. We say, I want this, I'm gonna get it, I'm not gonna think about the consequences, right? And where that's different from maybe sort of typical impulsivity with money, because you know, I think most people from time to time might spend more than they can. But with my clients with BPD, it often looks like, you know, making purchases that could severely put us in significant debt or put us in situations where maybe we're owing people money that could be dangerous to us. We could be, you know, there's really a point where it becomes self-destructive, where it puts us in harm's way, right? And I'll give an example for myself. When I was in college, I studied abroad in India, and I decided like partway through the program just to leave it. And, you know, my parents had spent, you know, thousands of dollars for me to go on this trip. So there was like a significant deficit for us as a result of that. And not to mention that I left this program and that was where I was getting my food and shelter, and I didn't really have any money outside of that. And so then I often had to sort of depend on strangers for shelter and things like that. And so it was a decision that I made impulsively without thinking about the consequences and really put me in a situation where I could have, you know, suffered harm because I wasn't able to like literally care for my own like basic needs. So that's kind of how I think about it as a therapist. And I think it also ties into a lot of our other symptoms, right? For example, I think it ties a lot into the difficulty with a sense of identity, right? Because if I don't have a sense of identity, I really think about often the things I buy or the environments I'm part of as my identity. And so if I can buy something that will make me feel like I have a sense of identity when I don't, it makes it a lot more appealing.
So for everyone, what did impulsivity with money look like for you?
I think for me, it's definitely resulted in some very unwanted consequences, and it's a pattern of behavior for me. So I do struggle with impulsivity with one-off isolated incidents where I do things where I don't think things through, but then I also have impulsivity with just ongoing patterns of behavior that are not controlled at all. So for me, I always think about times like buying a car. So if someone was to do that spontaneously, they would maybe go to a forecourt, have a look at a car, not necessarily plan on purchasing that car, but then they decide to take it anyway. And they buy that car, not having planned to buy the car, but they know that they can afford it, even though it's a bit of a struggle. For me, I would turn up at the forecourt, pick a car that I knew I had no way of being able to afford, and take on that financial burden, and then afterwards panic about it because I knew that I hadn't rationally considered what I was doing. And that's quite a big purchase, but it has happened with smaller purchases as well. So one of the most memorable ones recently is I decided to buy an electric organ, which is a musical instrument. That probably in itself doesn't sound that bad, but when I tell you that I've never actually learned how to play one and I had no intention of ever taking lessons on how to play one, it then ended up stuck in my living room, taking up space for about 2 years before my husband said, "You've got to get rid of that thing because it's absolutely pointless," because I was using it as a shelf to like store things on. And that's the kind of thing that happens really quite regularly with me. So I will go and spend quite a lot of money on things that I don't need, and then afterwards I'll feel quite a lot of shame and regret about what I have bought. And I am a serial returner, so I will buy loads of stuff, and then afterwards it'll be that kind of feeling where you've eaten too much chocolate and you feel slightly sick about what you've done, and then I have to spend all the time returning it. So again, it's just about that instant gratification where I feel distress. So to solve that problem, I will then spend money in the false belief that it will make me feel better about what I've done, but it very rarely does.
What is forecourt? Is that, I don't know. I didn't know that term.
I don't know what they're actually called over there, but you know where you go to a place to buy a car and there's just loads and loads of new cars everywhere and you just pick one and buy it?
Maybe like an auto mall where there's like a ton of different dealerships.
Yeah.
So like there's all the different brands in one kind of area.
It's like a candy store for cars, and you just like pick the one that you like the look of and then worry about if you can afford it afterwards. if you have BPD, obviously. Normal people don't do that.
A lot of people with BPD struggle with like black or white thinking, this really extreme thinking. And I realized that a lot of the beliefs that I've had over the course of my life about how I should behave were times where somebody gave me sort of generic advice. And I turn it into like, I'm either doing this all the time at 100% or I'm not doing it at all. So like one of the things was the importance of tipping and tipping people really well. And there was a period when I was in my early 20s and I was making okay money, but I would often go out and I'd be impulsively drinking and impulsively partying. And then I would like spend all my money like buying drinks for everyone and then like giving outrageous tips to the bartender. Like, this is what you're supposed to do. Of course, I was a little bit impaired a lot of the times because of the drinking, but I would do it when I was sober too. It's like, this is what you're supposed to do. If you take care of people, they take care of you. But it was like strangers. We didn't have like a long-term relationship, and I wasn't in a position to be giving like these lavish tips to people. But I did. And then I would end up being like, oh, snap, I have to pay my rent. How am I going to do that?
I think the impulsivity with money in BPD is very tied up in the other symptoms, because when I think of the times that I've been really impulsive, like beyond a normal degree with money, I dissociate. And it also tends to be wrapped up in identity, like identity crises. So I'll use this specific example. I found a pair of shorts that I liked. And I was like, these shorts fit me. I like how I feel in them. I like the look, like they were a linen short with like a rolled hem. So I felt like, oh, this is like an image that I want to present. So I had the one pair of shorts. I proceeded to go and find every single color. I went all over the internet. I went on resale sites. I ended up actually with about 10 pairs of shorts. And I don't even wear shorts that often. I didn't wear shorts to work. I wasn't a huge shorts wearer, but all of a sudden I was the owner of all of these shorts that made me feel like I was projecting this identity that I wanted to embrace. So I've done things like that where I tend to collect things that I like. There's not even 10 days in a week, right? I had more shorts than I had days in a week. So I end up with like way more than I need. I've been lucky in that like I hasn't gotten to the point where like, oh, I can't buy food, but it's definitely gotten to the point where I'm like, oh, I'm out of money now. I need to figure out a way to pay for other things. So putting necessities on credit cards because I've amassed a collection of something that I don't really need. I've also found that when I get really stressed or overwhelmed, that's when I kind of dissociate, and I've ended up buying things and forgetting that I've bought them, and they show up at my house and I'm like, who's this box for? Like, what is this that I ordered? And it'll be like, I ordered a Dremel, like a hand drill thing that when it came, I was like, oh, that's interesting. I have not used it. It has sat in the box. I haven't even opened it.
You were talking about how the consequences was not as like financially severe. That made me think there's another consequence of the collecting things that you don't need, which is not being able to manage the stuff. Like, I also have co-occurring ADHD, and for me, that manifests in not being able to manage my things very well. But then I'm also impulsively getting all of these things that I'm just like, in the moment, how I feel, or like, oh, this is the thing. And then I end up with more stuff than I can manage. And that then creates a whole cascade of other issues where it's like the overwhelm. There's a lot of feelings of inadequacy because I can't keep track of everything. It's actually like, in terms of my relationships with other people, been a huge problem because they're like, why don't I get rid of this stuff? Or why don't you do, and to me, it's not even necessarily that I can't get rid of it. It's just like so much. It becomes so much that I look at it and I'm just like, I don't want to go there. I don't even want to go there. Like, I don't know where to start.
Yeah. I think it's also really tied up in that, the consequence of like deep shame that you feel afterwards, which leads back to, you know, how you cope with that, which was for me buying something to make myself feel better, or buying something to be able to be the person that I thought I needed to be, who wore amazing linen shorts with a rolled cuff. But it is, you have that deep sense of shame afterwards. Like, why did I do this? I know that wasn't a good decision, but I didn't feel able to stop it at the time. And then afterwards you're faced with all these things, and it's like a cycle of then you're going back into.
I know that endless cycle very well. I will, if I'm feeling down, depressed, not myself, I will go out and buy the most rent. I ended up with a set of glass drilling bits because I thought I'm gonna make glass art one day. I've spent more money than I have on clothes just because like I deserve a new wardrobe because I deserve to have nice things. Just like Georgie said, I bought stuff I've never unpacked. I bought a screen printing set a home quick screen printing set because I was like, I'm gonna make t-shirts one day. Just stuff to make myself feel better. I think it's gonna make myself feel better, but in the long run doesn't. Just makes me realize like I could spend that money on this or that or something that's really important I could really use, and just start that cycle all over again. It just goes back and forth. It sucks a lot.
And I don't know if anybody else has this, but Jackie said I bought a screen printing set, and I was like, oh, I could get into screen printing. Like, maybe that's a good idea. I could start screen printing shirts.
So how do you think I started? I literally saw somebody do it at home. Like, I could do that. I could do it real quick.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's still packed up, not been used.
Well, you know what's so interesting about all of that is that a lot of the times, like with BPD, we're talking about how like our negative emotions and feelings can get us into trouble, but we don't often talk about how some of our positive feelings can get us into trouble. And, you know, like this is like an excited feeling where you're like, right, where you're like, oh my gosh, this is a great idea. I'm going to do all of this and this is going to change my life, right? And really, it's not. And I think that's really interesting as well, because I've had it's not always like new hobbies, but I'm a crafty person, and I'll be struck with all these ideas of things that I could make. And then I keep accumulating more fabric. I probably have more fabric than I can ever use. Like that's all I did all day for the rest of my life was sew, then I could use up all the stuff. But it's like, I just have all of these projects that I could do. And then it's overwhelming because it's too many things that you could do and then you don't want to do any of it, right? But it's interesting that in the moment it all comes from this like this dream, like fantasy state, like I could do this and it would be great.
Fanny, it's really interesting that you've said that, because it's just reminding me of something that happened last week with my husband. So I do taxidermy, sort of as like a hobby, but I can only do small birds. Like, I'm not trained to do anything bigger than that. And my husband mentioned that he got a friend who had got these exotic duck specimens. And I was like, you know what? I want those ducks. And my husband was like, you can't taxidermy ducks yet. I was like, yeah, I don't care. I want it. So I tried to acquire these duck specimens, which would have needed to go into a freezer. And my plan was to take out the food in our freezer and put the ducks in there until such a point when I was ready to use them for taxidermy. And my husband had to actually intervene and say, you are not putting duck specimens for taxidermy inside our freezer so that we can't eat food. And I was like, yeah, that's fair. But at the time, I just didn't consider it at all.
Actually, that reminds me of this one time I went on to a Hollywood auction site because Spider-Man suit was on sale for auction. I went on there and it was up to like $42,000. And I was about willing to go bankrupt to buy that suit. I had to have it. I needed it. It was important. I feel like it was important. So I was going like, you know what? I'm not probably gonna live past 35, so it's okay. I can spend all my money I don't have now to buy this Black Spider-Man suit that I'm not ever gonna wear because it's beat up. Oh yeah, for me it's more nihilistic. I'm not gonna be here for long, so there's no point in me wanting to save all the money. I'm not gonna make it to my 32nd birthday, so there's no point in me saving to buy a house, saving to buy a car. It's more nihilistic that I won't be here for long, so I don't need to save my money because I can't take it with me, so might as well use it while I can.
Yeah, and then unfortunately, it doesn't actually, like, it doesn't fill the hole sort of thing, right? In the same way, like, you know, I found with eating disorders or substances or whatever, I was always trying to kind of fill this void, like, who cares about the consequences? Because as long as I feel good now, and I never did. I was always kind of chasing that high that I didn't experience. And maybe there were moments along the way where I felt like, oh, this is it. And then I would just have to keep finding it again.
I think for me, it's a little bit of a mix of what everyone said so far. But for me, it's always been about attaching myself to a group. So whatever the group does, I do. So that's always been a problem with money. I would spend unnecessary amounts of money And that can just be as simple as being with a group of people that always go out, always spend obscene amounts of money on, let's say, like bottle service, and, you know, just crazy different excursions that they want to do, and just doing it with them because I didn't want to be an outsider in that group. It added up to be a lot, and it just never got to the point where I was satisfied and what I was doing was enough. So it kind of just tied back into those feelings of like worthlessness and not being enough and not being able to fit into any one group. So I just kept doing that. I kept group hopping, whether it was to a pyramid scheme or like this group of boys that were friends with me that were very into crypto, who told me I had to buy all this crypto that I couldn't buy and, you know, could buy like another $8,000, you know?
So what are some strategies that you have for managing impulsivity with money more effectively?
For me, it's the mindfulness. When I get that urge to spend, recognizing that in myself and trying to figure out why I'm having that urge. I made a budget. I have it organized so I know what I need, all my bills every month, and I have them organized by the date they're due. And I get paid biweekly, so I have my budget like it's very planned out. And the day I get paid, I will pay all of my bills that are due during that pay period cycle so that I don't ever miss a bill because I thought I had money that I actually didn't have. So paying my bills immediately after getting paid has really helped. The other thing that I do is I will put things in shopping carts online. I will go, I will put things in shopping carts, and then I will, it's hard to do, but I will then put the phone away, put it down, walk away, do something else. And I find that sometimes I never even go back to the website. And then eventually I go through my cart when I really need something and I have all these other things in the cart, I'll save it for later. And then later on, I can go back and look and see like, why did I need that ball of yarn? Like, why did I put that sari fabric in there? You know, so that's helped me like scratch the itch of wanting to buy, but also given me time to reflect on, do I really need that thing? So
I spend most of my money on things that are secondhand now. And in the UK, we have things called kilo sales. And that is where you go to a pop-up event in, say, a warehouse, and you get a bag and you go through all of the racks of vintage clothes, you fill it up, and then you actually pay by the kilogram. So you kind of get that dopamine hit from impulsively shopping, but you know that A, there is a spending cap on it, and B, that they are definitely going to be clothes that you like, because not everyone is going to be wearing the same kind of thing because they're one-off pieces. And I think previously I would spend a lot of money on things that I thought were unique, because I didn't like to spend money on things that everybody had. So it kind of scratches that itch for me. But also because a lot of what I was doing with consumerism was not having a good impact on the environment, it is something where it's more sustainable, because if I don't like the pieces, I can just, you know, sell them online, donate them to charity. So in that sense as well, it's slightly better for the environment in terms of the consumerist behaviour. But also, I don't really spend money so much on physical things anymore. I try and spend it on experiences. So things like barista courses, taxidermy courses, that kind of thing, because I found that I was acquiring so much stuff that I didn't have space for, that when it came to disposable income, I actually didn't really have anything to spend it on because I hadn't got any space for storage. So I try and transfer it now to things that are going to have value in terms of skills and experiences. But also as well, I do have a prepaid card. So that's linked to my bank card, but I will shift a certain amount of money every month that is purely designated for disposable income for me to spend however I want onto that card to make it more manageable as well.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch, find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I would say for me, one thing that's been helpful is getting hobbies that don't involve a lot of money. So, like, I've gotten into, like, reading, for example, and, like, roller skating, stuff that, like, there's only so much you can spend on it. You know, there's ways you can do it cheaper. And I think that's been a huge help. Because if I have a lot of hobbies where, you know, like fashion and stuff like that, that are all about spending money, I'm just going to be constantly fighting with my bank account every month. But I would also say, like, I've had to be a lot more mindful about who I follow on social media. And I've kind of reduced how much I spend on social media other than looking at, like, certain pages and friends and stuff that I like to follow, because I found that, you know, watching certain accounts and seeing, like, people's lifestyle and their clothes and whatever they were able to afford, it made me, you know, want to buy things I couldn't afford, and so I had to really be careful about that.
Don't go anywhere. That's what I do. I just chill in the house. I watch TV. I do stuff that's free at the house. You know, if I do want to drink, I do at the house. Go give me a $10 bottle of wine. Give me a $2 pizza from Dollar General, and turn on Netflix. Yeah, I realize that going out, you are gonna end up spending money no matter what. So just at the house, you don't got to be around a lot of people too, because I don't like being around a lot of people. So that's what I do. I just stay in the house. You can still spend money at the house because of internet shopping and all that, which sucks now, but you have less of a chance to spend unnecessary money. So yeah, just stay in the house.
I think for me, I'm a really big planner. It's definitely one of my strengths. So I've learned to plan to spend impulsively in a controlled manner, you know? I think there's just so many, like, features now, like apps and websites on the internet that we just don't utilize properly. Like, let's say I really want, like, certain things, right? Like items that I can buy online, I will set up on my computer where you can have on Google that it tracks the price of the item. So I will always be, like, looking at it and I'm like, that's not low enough for me, but I'm gonna get it, just not right now. So it kind of reassures my brain that we're gonna have it. It's okay, we're gonna buy it, but just not right now. And I have a little bit more control with that now than I used to. And same thing goes with trips. You know, like, I'll be watching the flights, you know, I'll be waiting, like, I want it to dip, because you can see trend patterns too online, especially with flights. It'll tell you, is it high right now? Is it average? Is it low? I always try to wait till it dips before the low, before I purchase it. So I allow myself to have the things that I want, but with a little bit more planning into it, a little bit more making sure that it's a financially sound decision for sure.
Yeah, I do. I do sometimes do the cart thing. There's a couple of other, like, specific strategy things for approaching this that are helpful for me. One is I use this for other, like, sort of impulsivity in general, but it's the 24-hour rule. Especially, like, if I see something in a store, like, chances are it's gonna be there tomorrow, right? And if I go home and tomorrow I wake up and I still wanna get out of my house and take the car all the way there to buy the thing, then I always can. And oftentimes I've forgotten about it by the next day. So, and it's really not that important. And the other thing that I do is, you know, in terms of just my approaching my finances, is I don't leave the house with a high limit credit card. I only ever carry a very low limit one, and that's primarily for emergencies. So, you know, something that I could pay off very easily, that's not going to rack up debt. And that really helps, because even if I max it out, it's not going to be something that I have to work for years to fix. And that really helps me to limit some of the negative consequences of some of those impulsive behaviors when I do end up making, you know, more impulsive decisions.
So the last time I was feeling really down, I walked into Nordstrom Rack and they had a bunch of clearance racks. I found this dress that I was like, oh my God, I could picture myself in it. I thought it was amazing. But I said, it'll be there tomorrow if I really want it, right? It's hard to walk away, but I did. I did go back the next day and I found it on the rack. But at that point I was like, well, let me try it on. And I tried it on. It had no pockets. And even though I pictured it looking amazing, when I actually put it on, I was like, oh, I don't really like this. So I was able to like walk away from it. But I was glad I let myself like think of it. You know, I had my sights on it. I gave myself the 24 hours. And it was like the more steps you put in the way of getting it, the more your thinking brain takes over.
Yeah. So Lena, I wanted to ask you, you know, because a lot of the things that we're talking about are like, we don't hold a monopoly over these behaviors, right? So from your perspective, like when you're treating somebody who has BPD and struggles with this, how do you kind of conceptualize the difference between, you know, sort of average impulsive shopping and when it becomes maybe like an expression of something that should be managed?
Yeah, I mean, I think like we were saying, you know, for example, I have a friend who has ADHD and we both have this shared interest in perfumes. I mean, perfumes can be so crazy expensive, and they have at times like maybe bought a perfume they couldn't afford, but they would like, you know, resell it or return it or something, right? Because they're like, oh, it doesn't fit within my budget, right? Whereas for me, if I buy something I can't afford, I attach so much of my own personal value to the things that I possess, right? More than maybe like the quote unquote average person. It's really hard for me to let go of things because like this thing makes me cool or interesting or whatever if I possess this thing, right? And because people with BPD, like we struggle often with that sense of identity, with a feeling of knowing who we are, you know, what's important to us, like what we value, we will often, with thinking about impulsivity with money, we'll spend our way to figure that out, sort of thing. Like we've all talked about, you know, like Jack mentioned, like, oh, I got this screen printing press or whatever and never used it. And Georgia was saying, I got these drills, never used it. Like, you know, we will like just buy things hoping that it will give us a sense of something, right? And it's really hard to let that go, because whereas like my friend who was like, oh, I can't afford this perfume, I'm gonna resell it, I'm like, this perfume gives me a sense of who I am, right? And so it's like we're attaching so much more to it than the average person. And I think also, like Jack was saying, with a feeling of, well, I'm not going to be here for the consequences. That's not typically a perspective that like the average person has, right? Often someone who doesn't have BPD will realize like, oh, if I make this poor financial decision, I'm going to have to deal with it later. Even if in the moment they still might be impulsive, right? And still make the purchase. A lot of us with BPD are like, well, screw it. I'm not going to be around, you know, I'm not going to make it past whatever age. And so, you know, might as well do it. It's just, I think impulsivity just takes on like a little bit of another level. And this is where, you know, one of those things where I think it's really maybe subtle, because BPD is not, we're not like monsters or aliens from the third dimension or whatever. Like, BPD traits are basically extremes of sort of normal human characteristics, right? And so to the average, you know, the average person, it can look like, oh, you spend too much, you know, you're a shopaholic. But that's because combined with all the other things we deal with, it just takes on another level of intensity.
Does anybody have any, you know, like final parting thoughts or encouragement to give to somebody who might really like be in the depths of struggling with this?
I think it's definitely something that once you're aware that you do struggle with it, it's putting that tiny bit of mindfulness in, like you're aware of it. So maybe you're going to notice when it happens a little bit more. And then I think we've all given like really good tips about how we manage that. And just that spark of awareness, I think, is really helpful. And I think it is something that can be really effectively managed. So I just want to be encouraging in that I think it is something that can be very effectively managed.
I'm quite fortunate in that I've never ended up in really serious financial difficulty, although I have been stuck in a cycle of taking out loans, paying them off, and then at the end of that realizing I need to take out another loan to clear the debt I've accumulated in the meantime. But if you are really struggling with debt, please do not put your head in the sand about it. There are charities that you can contact for free independent financial advice, and they are also there to provide support if necessary. Because I think one of the worst things that you can do is if you are in a situation where you cannot pay bills and you cannot financially support yourself, it can end up in a very difficult and very prolonged legal situation if you do not take the initiative to get it under control. So I would just say that if you feel that that applies to you, please do reach out for professional help.
I think sometimes when we face our behaviors that have put us in a position that we don't want to be in, there can be a lot of shame attached to that. And so you want to hide away from it. And it kind of adds to this bigger cycle of shame. So I think it's better to just face it, deal with the shame kind of maybe once, and get yourself on the path to where you can manage things better.
All of us here are, you know, on our recovery path and relatively stable and still struggle with some of these things sometimes. So I think that self-compassion piece and being forgiving to yourself, because you can't take back the past. You can only move forwards and really focus on that kindness towards yourself and solving your problems, I think will really make a difference. So thank you everyone so much for watching. We hope that you got a nugget of wisdom to take with you on your journey. Friday, we'll be back to talk about some of the specific situations or contexts that incite the urge to overspend and some of the ways that we might recognize that. And then next Wednesday, we'll be back with a brand new episode topic. Make sure to like, subscribe, and turn on your notifications so that you do not miss a single episode. And we will see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.